It's good to be with you again. Very good, in fact, because a day before yesterday, on Friday, we went, Andy and Matt and I went to a trade show for our industry, something that we like to go to every year. We've missed it for 2 years, and so finally we said we're going to make it happen this year. This is an event where we go and we see what's available on the market, what kind of products are out there, and what kind of techniques are best suited for the things that we do. And there's training opportunities, and there's some manufacturing opportunities. What's available? What's best? And it's a good place to go. We have a good time doing this. And we knew the weather was going to be bad, but we thought, well, we're going to do this anyway. So we left and went out, and Friday afternoon we took off, and we should have been home at around, if things would have been normal, we should have been home around 6 o'clock that evening. Well, we got home just before midnight, and it was a long and grueling trip. Got back, and my shoulders were stiff and sore, and my eyes were red, and it was quite the deal. I'd like to talk about icy roads, spiritually icy roads, this morning. Now, when road conditions are slippery and treacherous, there are some things that you should not do. You need to be careful to avoid slamming on the brakes, to avoid swerving, to avoid setting the cruise control. It's a whole host of things. I'd like to make some spiritual parallels here. 1 Samuel 15, verse 17, and Samuel said, talking to Saul here, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? When you were small in your own sight, it's important that we have humility at all times, but especially when things are extra treacherous, we need to have humility. If we just say, well, we're going to be fine, we're going to charge ahead, we're going to take care of the situation, and we plow ahead without desperately consulting the Lord, we're going to be in for trouble, aren't we? It's important that we recognize that only through the grace of God can we get through. And it's important that we recognize that early and throughout. We're never going to outgrow that. Big vehicles as well as small are in danger on the icy roads. You never outgrow desperately needing the grace of God to get you through. It's an interesting verse in Job. Job 12, verse 5, it says this, he that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. So that, look that up sometime. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. What it's saying here is that the man who needs a light, it seems ridiculous to the man who is sitting in front of the fire with his feet propped up, who has no need of going anywhere. Someone who believes that he has arrived also feels that he really doesn't need light. I'm fine. I don't need any help. I have arrived. But if we are on that straight and narrow way, if we are following Christ, we're going to need every bit of help we can get. You're going to need a light. You're going to need every help that you can get. How am I perceiving my life? Do I desperately need light? Am I seeking God? Am I seeking his truth and his word? Or do I sit here complacently? I have arrived. I really don't need to learn anything else. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's interesting that if I'm correct, statistics will tell you that you are more likely to end up in the ditch in an SUV than you are in a car, in a four-wheel drive SUV. And why is that? It's because you've got a four-wheel drive SUV and you know it, and you drive accordingly. Several years ago, my wife and I were rocketing down a back road, gravel road, and I was performing various feats of a trajectory, sliding this way and sliding that way, and I was enjoying her shrieks. And she was sure that I was going to go in the ditch, and I was quite positive that I wouldn't. And even if I did, it wouldn't matter anyway. We have four-wheel drive, and we're driving this SUV. Just about that quick, boom, I'm in the ditch. And I hit reverse, and I wasn't going to go anywhere. And I went out and looked, and the front wheel had gone down so far into this deep ditch that the back wheel was completely off the ground by about a foot. She was right, I was wrong, and I had to get somebody to pull me out. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Freezing conditions can change the road from wet and somewhat dangerous to icy and absolutely treacherous, just like that. And you know, when we get the attitude that I'm too good to fail, I'm too big to fail, I'm too strong to fail, I can handle this. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need anybody's input. We're in for a crash. It happens. Same thing is true of anti-lock brakes. When anti-lock brakes came out, stopping distance shortened hugely. You can stop a vehicle with ABS brakes much faster than you can with one that doesn't have them. And so the safety people thought that this would drastically decrease the amount of rear-end crashes. They went up pretty dramatically. Why? Because everybody knew that they could stop faster and they started tailgating each other. If you think you've got it covered, watch out. You're going to fall. John 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Once again, we must acknowledge our own lack of wisdom and sight before we can receive the perception that is the part of those who follow Jesus. As long as it's all with me, we cannot see. Yesterday, my wife and I unfortunately had to dig the van out. The slushy, snowy, how it is, it just doesn't go. You can't do anything in it. And the van was buried in snow. Actually, it wasn't buried. It wasn't even in very much snow, but it was enough. And had to dig it out. I'd dig it out about three or four times before we finally got back onto firm footing. If I left it in drive and stepped out to push, the without any acceleration, with it just idling there, the front wheels were just sitting there going like this, just spinning. No traction. No traction at all. We've got a parallel verse for that in Luke 6, or a parallel passage, verses 46 to 49. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, a stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." It's important that we are on solid footing. Here, Jesus is likening this to a foundation. But maybe on an icy road, it's traction. You can't get a hold of anything on these icy roads. And it's slippery. We're going to have to get down to solid material before we can get out. If our lives are based on fluff, if we don't have the real thing, if we're not getting our feet, if the rubber, when we say the rubber meets the road, if the rubber isn't meeting the road, it's meeting ice, we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to stay there indefinitely until something else changes. Am I founded on a rock? Are my tires grabbing the road? Or are they on ice? What kind of traction do I have? Am I willing to dig myself out, correct those things that are wrong? Maybe along with that, in Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Does this sound to you like a person who is apathetic, just doing the best he can, but you know, you really get the idea, that's really not a whole lot. This man, David here, in the wilderness of Judah when he wrote this, says, "Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee." He's desperate. He's got it in four-wheel drive. He's giving it everything he's got. He's going to exert all effort with all available power, all the stops out. What am I doing? Am I leaving it in two-wheel drive? Am I spinning all over the place simply because I'm not available to put forth the extra effort? Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10. "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." It's important that we seek good fellowship, people who can help us out. We don't go at this alone. We don't have to go at this alone. There are people, I'm sure, in different places in the world where they do have to go at it alone. And in some situations, we are alone. But we seek to be with other people who can help us out. Christians should seek fellowship, not flee from it. Two are better than one. We also saw something interesting the other night when we were coming home. We were driving behind a vehicle. And it was a rear-wheel drive car. And like I said, the roads were really slippery. We were all moving at about 45 miles an hour. Just sort of creeping along, straight road, but slippery. And this rear-wheel drive car up ahead of us, all of a sudden, just started kicking off to the left. Back end came around, farther, farther, farther. And all of a sudden, there he goes, right into the ditch. Why did that happen? Why would, on a straight road, would that happen? Well, I don't know for certain, but I suspect he had it on cruise control. It's one of the worst things you can do in an icy road is just punch the cruise and away we go. Now I'm going slowly, road is straight, traffic is light, and we just hit cruise and we go. That's one of the most dangerous things we can do. Apathy, lack of awareness, lack of planning. These attitudes are a recipe for disaster. This is what Proverbs says about this. "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." When we turn off our mind, when we turn off our awareness, when we don't watch, when we don't pray, when we don't seek, it's like we're on cruise control and we're just doing what we've always done and we're just expecting to get there eventually, and we don't think. We're not aware. That's a recipe for disaster. What is one of the, if you were going to say icy roads, where do we need to watch out for first? What's the most dangerous place on an icy road? Or one of the places that freezes first, I should say. Bridges and overpasses. Now, are bridges and overpasses absolutely necessary for roads? We drove over this enormous bridge over the Mississippi River, and it would have been a sad day for us if the bridge hadn't been there. And likewise, overpasses and all, bridges of all types. They take us from one place to another. They take us across deep gorges. They take us across huge rivers. They take us from a place of danger to a place of safety. Bridges are absolutely essential for us. I'd like to liken bridges to change. And they are necessary. And change is necessary. But there's something about bridges is that as they take you from this one place to another, they lack certain advantages that the other road has. They don't have the benefit of ground temperature. They're also usually high and exposed. The wind hits them. I read several years ago this wasn't on an overpass, but it was on a high windy situation where an RV in Yellowstone Park was driving on an icy road where it should not have been. And it was just creeping along, and the wind literally pushed it sideways off the road down into the canyon. These places are dangerous. Even as they are essential, they are dangerous. So what should we do? What are some lessons for us here? What does the Bible say? James 1, verses 5 through 8 says this, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Change is necessary. As we follow Christ, the Bible says we're changed more and more into his glory. From glory to glory, we're changed. But even so, we must be aware that the purpose of the bridge is to get us from one place to another place. We don't stay on the bridge. We don't stay in flux. And we don't stay in constant indecision. Those are places of danger. They're necessary places, but we must move from one place to the next. We must negotiate change carefully, on high alert. We must not get hooked on the adrenaline rush of change for change's sake. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5 through 7. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. If you look this up again, 1 Timothy 1, 5, it talks about a person who is forsaking the essentials of following Christ and swerving aside to petty wrangling. Swerving is a bad idea if you're on an icy road. You're in for some trouble if you swerve. When we swerve spiritually in this context that this verse has, it's because we're focusing on the wrong things. We're swerving away from the core values that Jesus gives his people, and we lose ourselves in petty wrangling, petty arguments, petty who did this and who said that kind of things. Let's not swerve. Let's maintain focus on Jesus. Let's maintain focus on what's right. Let's maintain focus on being a follower of Christ, if we would avoid swerving. Now, there's a difference between swerving and gently turning. Now, we don't just keep on doing things the way we've always done them simply because that's the way we've always done them. Sometimes we need to turn, but we need to do those things carefully. It's dangerous, and it's as essential as it is dangerous. We need to just be aware. I'd like to finish or conclude here with Mark 13, verses 31 to 37. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Don't lose focus. Don't start falling asleep. Don't try to take shortcuts. You know, we putzed along through Sykeston and Poplar Bluff at 45 miles an hour, and then 40 miles an hour, and then 35 miles an hour. And, you know, it was a temptation to say, okay, let's just get there. But, you know, that if we'd have done that, we would have not gotten there for a lot longer. We want to rush. We want to just get there sometimes. But sometimes we have to slow it down and just be patient, just wait. And I'll tell you, when we finally got home at 11:30, and home was a welcome sight. But you know, we have to be patient, have to be vigilant, have to maintain watchfulness. I just love this, what he says in the last verse. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Let's keep our eyes open. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. Let's be aware that there are dangers out there. And that we must be careful how we live our lives. We live them always in the fear of God. Let's kneel for prayer.